Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, Greg McBride from Bankrate.com joins us. New survey coming out. Nearly half of U.S. adults say their top financial priority over the past few months has been simply just trying to catch up or staying current on their bills. What does this look like now? What does it mean historically? Greg McBride joins us to explain all of this and more. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Noel. Thanks for having me.
Greg, you guys surveyed this question for a number of years, and in your article you said this is the highest that it's ever been, where folks are just trying to catch up on paying their month-to-month bills.
Sure is. We have looked at this about half a dozen times in the last 8 years or so. And yes, this is by far and away the most widespread that we've seen people citing this as their top financial priority. It often comes in at the top of the list, but it's a closer horse race typically between paying the bills versus saving more money or paying down debt. And what we had seen this year is, they're really everybody centering around one of two, either this pay the bills or saving more money. About three quarters of Americans picked one or the other. And as you noted at the top, nearly half selecting that just getting caught up on the bills or keeping current on the bills, which I think is definitely symptomatic of this deep recession we've experienced.
Oftentimes, folks develop a plan for saving and otherwise, and there are huge differences sometimes between generations. Where does this break out generationally? Did y'all test that?
Yes. And one of the really troubling things that we had seen was that baby boomers, they were the most likely of every age group to say that this staying current or getting caught up on the bills was their top financial priority. And by more than a 2-to-1 margin over anything else, like saving more money. So I think that caught my attention. Of course, one of the vestiges of the last recession was prolonged unemployment, particularly for those age 50 plus. And so when I see a number like this, I see, a segment of the public, kind of raising their hand that this is an issue. That's, that sends up some warning flags, particularly given the impact we've seen on the labor market over the last 6 months. Maybe those jobs aren't coming back as quickly, or the income isn't coming back as quickly for boomer households, and that's causing greater strain on the household budget.
Greg, do you have a suspicion that in the aftermath of this pandemic, obviously we're not there yet, but the modification that's going on and the reengineering of any number of industries and any number of sectors, that this generation, baby boomers, are they going to be disproportionately impacted?
I've had that concern really dating back to prior to the financial crisis. I mean, Americans in general tend to be undersaved for both emergencies and retirement. And it's when we have, an intersection with something like a recession or a bear market that, a lot of that really reveals itself. Like I said, we saw that in the financial crisis and the prolonged unemployment that persisted for years thereafter, which I think further set back a lot of the retirement planning for many baby boomers. And then now here we are, another very deep recession that's going to take a while to dig out of. You do worry about the long-term financial ramifications, not just for those that are unemployed or underemployed, but also you think about the investors that panicked in March, moved their money out of the market, and then didn't participate in the sharp rebound that we've seen in the months since. That, too, can be a big setback to your long-term financial planning.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I was going to ask, my next question was going to be, even those that did save appropriately and have significant IRAs to support themselves in retirement, these major market fluctuations really create a lot of angst and anxiety and uncertainty as what to do.
It does. And, you know, it comes at a time when interest rates are really, really low. So you're not generating the income that you used to be able to, or you may have thought you'd be able to, from cash and bond investments. And so, you know, I think if anything, it may subject investors to that market volatility to a greater extent. But I think it's really important in times of volatility, and especially in times of volatility, not to let that short-term volatility, the temporary conditions that are causing it, to derail your long-term financial goals. Don't make long-term decisions based on a short-term market dislocation. You know, we've seen time and again that, you know, those type of decisions made under duress can really have long-lasting impacts financially.
We're talking to Greg McBride from Bankrate.com about a survey that they did that 46% of U.S. adults say their top financial priority is just trying to catch up on their bills. All of this seems to me to highlight the importance of some kind of stimulus package to come out of Congress. I think as we wean off of this last executive order as it relates to that unemployment bogey given by the federal government, I would venture to say, and I would think, that if you repoll this question in the second week of October, I think the results might be markedly different.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Another poll we had done a couple months ago, I think reveals just how far-reaching the financial impacts of this recession have been. We found 49% of households say that their income had declined at some point since the outbreak of the pandemic, and that very few had actually seen it rebound to what it had been pre-pandemic. I see a pretty strong correlation between 49% of households that have seen their income go down, 46% of people saying, hey, the budget's really tight, I'm just trying to get the bills paid every month. And so I think it speaks to that need that exists for, not just the 26 million Americans that are drawing some form of unemployment compensation right now, but the tens of millions more that are working but are making less than they had been, some cases significantly less, because their hours have been cut or business has just dropped off a cliff.
Greg, has that been kind of highlighted by, and I'm sure you looked at the numbers that were released today relative to unemployment?
That does kind of factor in the latest numbers that we got today with the unemployment claims filings. When you count up all the programs, not just the state programs, but also the pandemic unemployment assistance program geared for those that are self-employed or gig workers, 26 million Americans are drawing some form of unemployment compensation. And so, there's a lot of talk, and rightfully so, about added unemployment benefits for those households. But even then, I don't think that covers it, because of the fact that there are so many out there that are working but making a lot less. They too are experiencing financial hardship, and they haven't had that type of stimulus or whatever you want to call it to help fill the gap.
Our own state legislature here in Louisiana is going into a special session Monday to deal with the unemployment compensation fund here that's dwindling away at record numbers. And once it dips below $100 million, which it is about to do, there are a lot of different drawback provisions in that that make this situation even worse.
Yeah, making the situation even worse, I think, is, you hit the nail on the head, because, we kind of introduced the other side of that equation at the state level and local level. So many municipal and state budgets are really, really strained right now, to the point where they're having to make, or will have to make, very difficult decisions, much like many households are. And that, again, this is just the impact from an economic perspective of the recession and the pandemic is really ripples out very, very far.
Obviously, you know, with the Supreme Court situation, everyone's saying that's taken all of the oxygen out of the room. It seems as though Congress is going to come to some agreement and some continuing resolution for government, the federal government, to keep itself rolling. Does that help with the market at all?
Yeah, marginally. I think the bigger issue is just the expectation of some and need for some additional stimulus. Yeah, the market has pulled back, you know, throughout the month of September, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that there really hasn't been progress on, you know, more aid, particularly to consumers and small businesses, as had been expected. You know, when those provisions expired July 31st, thinking was, well, you know, if Congress comes back from the recess, it'll get done. Well, it hasn't gotten done, and I think that's a big reason why you've seen the market pulling back the way it has in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a hue and cry in the streets to get something done, but they're tone deaf. I mean, I just don't see anything moving. And I think this thing is going to get deeper, and it's going to be harder to dig our way out of this if we don't have some action real, real soon.
I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, a microcosm of that is look at the small businesses that, you know, have had their doors shut for months. And even when they did reopen, and, you know, many cases, they had to do so only at partial capacity. You know, the revenue just isn't there. You know, the ability for many businesses to remain a going concern is really in question. And the longer this persists, you know, the more temporary layoffs will become permanent layoffs. The more businesses that temporarily shut the doors will have to permanently shut the doors. And you're right, that will leave a scar. From an economic and financial perspective, that just, you know, takes even longer to heal.
Especially when you take into consideration that a number of these small businesses are based upon a really fragile financial model to begin with, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you know, just the margins are thinner, right? Consider the mom and pop entrepreneur. You know, the margins are thinner. They, you know, they don't have the reserves that larger corporations do, or bigger companies that are able to tap the capital markets, that were able to get Paycheck Protection Program loans that could then be forgiven, are able to, you know, get low-cost loans and be able to access some of these other low-cost sources of capital. You know, a lot of mom-and-pop entrepreneurs, those aren't options that are on the table. And you're right. It makes it that much tougher at a time where already thin margins, you know, just get, you know, completely squeezed away at a time when you may be open, but you're running at a fraction of the capacity.
Yeah, this is, we're in a predicament that it's going to take some real action in Congress to pull us out of. Greg McBride, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks again.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
All righty. Greg McBride from Bankrate.com. We reach out to them quite frequently, in fact, and we truly enjoy the conversation with them. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the riots going on last evening. I think we've completely lost our minds. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.